Back to Libya now, where the search for Muammar Gaddafi and his sons continues this morning. At the same time, the people of Tripoli are beginning finally to believe that the regime may have crumbled, like the rubble strewn around the fortified compound that was believed to be Gaddafi's hiding place until it was overrun yesterday. Earlier this morning, we spoke with Rana Jawad of our partner, the BBC, who talked us through the last harrowing 18 hours in Tripoli.
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride for many residents here in the capital. It went from scenes of jubilation after Colonel Gaddafi's compound was finally breached by opposition fighters, people getting a sense that the regime has been toppled. However, of course, Colonel Gaddafi and his sons remain at large. No one knows where they are. And I think because of that, residents weren't able to fully celebrate as they probably would have liked to, and they do remain vigilant in trying to maintain security.
We're talking with Rana Jawad, correspondent for our partner at the BBC based in Tripoli. Rana, is that sense of worry about Gaddafi and his sons being at large about a need for justice, or is it more a sense of longstanding fear and almost paranoia over what Gaddafi is capable of?
It's a combination of both factors that you mentioned, and yet another one I'd have to mention is that because there does exist quite a number of hardline Gaddafi loyalists in the capital here in Tripoli, I think opponents here believe that if Colonel Gaddafi and his sons are captured and paraded perhaps on television, and the message really comes out that they've been captured and the regime has officially been toppled, then these loyalists will no longer have anything to fight for. So that is part of it. But yes, I think a larger part of it is that fear that's been instilled in people here over the past 42 decades of Colonel Gaddafi's rule, that he is still capable of doing anything, that he is a man that may find himself in a situation where he would rather die and kill everyone with him, as they often said, before he surrenders.
Well, what about that psychology that you speak of was at play as people breached this compound and were wandering through it as though it was a shopping mall in downtown Dubai?
Well, yes, and that was mostly the opposition fighters doing that. It's completely different for residents here in Tripoli. The clampdown, I have to say, has been so immense. And the fact that the security forces were able to silence them for 6 long months as they watched the conflict unfold in other parts of Libya says a lot about the tactics that were used, the very harsh tactics. And the rebel fighters that arrived to Tripoli, unlike those residents that live here, they've become hardened fighters and they're very vengeful at the moment. So it's not surprising to see them go in with such confidence, I suppose, and with that aura of, you know, we are no longer scared of him. But there does remain a large section of residents here in Tripoli that do remain fearful that something might happen in the coming days if he is not found.
We're speaking with Rana Jawad, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, who's in Tripoli. So, Rana, these people who have become fighters, as you've described, these are the same people that the opposition leaders say will very happily lay down their arms and go straight back to normal life once this is all done. Do you get any sense from some of these rebel fighters that they're ready to let it go once they feel as though the nation is finally stable?
I think knowing the culture and the mindset of Libyan people, I have been living here for quite some time now. I never even imagined they'd actually go to war, let alone, you know, become fighters for the rest of their lives. All, if not most of these, most of these fighters are essentially average Libyan citizens, some who are doctors, engineers, students even. So, yes, I do very much think that they will go back to their lives. I'm sure there'll be a lot of scars and a lot of wounds to heal. They're especially in their psyche. But yes, I do think that as soon as this conflict ends, They will be looking forward to rebuilding their country. However, having said that, I think there is still a long road ahead. And I don't think it's very easy to get rid of that culture of dictatorship that has reigned over the country for such a long time.
Well, speaking as a BBC reporter, you can also speak as someone with family in Libya. Do you share some of those scars and worry about that long road ahead?
Well, I'm not Libyan myself, but my husband is Libyan, and he's actually from Benghazi, and you know, it has been a very emotional time for them, and I have to say, on a personal level, you know, watching them over the past 6 months and their reaction to the news as it unfolded has been quite devastating, because he was emotional on many occasions. You know, you had grown men watching their television screens and in tears at what was happening, and so angry, so filled with anger towards the regime. So in that sense, I can tell you, it does reflect on how many residents here in Tripoli feel. I have been living in Tripoli for 7 years, long before I got married, and in that time, I haven't come across anyone who is well educated that supports this regime, but rather the regime seems to have preyed upon a lot of the poorer sections of society that are less educated than your average Libyan citizen, and what many describe here as the regime having brainwashed them over the last four decades, and so you do have this split split in the society of a minority of the population that really feel that they have a duty to die for this person, and they see him as a god. And I think for other residents looking at that section of society, it's a very sad thing to witness.
Speaking with us earlier this morning, that's Rana Jawad, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, and she's based in Tripoli, Libya.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.